want to welcome you to our webinar series this afternoon. Hi, my name is Kim Fanning. I'm with Continuing Education for Health Profession. This is a series that we're providing that was made available from a grant from Project Firstline. And today, Cassie Milnes is going to talk to us about how germs make you sick. I'd like to give you a little bit of an introduction. Cassie is an MSN. She's certified in infection control, and she received her BSN in 2009 and her MSN in 2014. She's practiced in pediatrics, medicine, labor and delivery, postpartum, and infection prevention. She's been in the infection prevention role in a 392-bed acute care hospital for the last 10 years. She loves to teach and serves as a part-time clinical instructor at CMU during the school year. On three occasions, Cassie has had the privilege of speaking at the National APIC Conference and once at the Magnet Conference. What she enjoys most about her role in infection prevention is there's never a dull moment and she's constantly learning something new. So I want to turn the program over to Cassie.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's session. So thank you for joining us for the second session of the Recognizing Risk Using Reservoirs series, provided by Project Firstline. Before we get started, I'd just like to touch on a couple of housekeeping things. So if you want, please keep your videos on, but please keep your microphones muted when you're not contributing to the discussion. So let's go ahead and get started. Just a quick review of our agenda for today. We're going to discuss the five elements needed for germs to spread and cause infection, as well as the four most common pathways for germs to spread throughout healthcare. Once you have an understanding of the elements and pathways, then the infection control actions that you do every day will make more sense. And at the end, we'll have a chance to bring it all together before we wrap up. Okay, so first we're going to start with how germs spread and make people sick. So these pictures look fun, right? Completely harmless. There's some kids having fun in the ball pit. Maybe these team members are going on a plane trip. I think this is probably what the average person sees when they look at these pictures. However, I think people in our line of work typically look at these objects and situations through a very different lens. So this is what I see when I see those two pictures. I don't know about you. Those ball pits, I never really thought about them until I had a child. She's 11 now, so kind of had her at the beginning of my IP career. Since having a child that goes into these ball pits, this is what I see on the left. And it's one big reservoir. And then I don't particularly ride on an airplane much anymore, but this is what I think of when someone sneezes and how all the germs are spread throughout the plane. And so I think many of you probably see these same scenarios the same way I do. The point of these pictures is and scenarios is not to scare people into being afraid to leave the house or ride on a plane or let their kids play in a ball pit, but it's really to recognize where the risks are and where the risk of a spread occurs, and then taking the actions to like stop the spread by breaking the chain of infection. For example, in these particular scenarios, so after your child plays in this ball pit of germs, just make sure they wash their hands before they eat. Or if you're going to be on a plane and it's respiratory season, maybe wear a mask. So those are just some ways to break the spread of infection or the chain of infection. So this leads us nicely into how germs are spread. As you guys know, germs are everywhere, including in and on our human body, as well as in the environment. Many germs are considered good and are actually meant to help us, are intended to keep us healthy. Our bodies are really good at protecting us against many germs, but when patients are ill, like in the healthcare setting, their defenses may not work as well, so they may be at higher risk for getting an infection from the germs that we're spreading around. And this isn't to say that someone who is healthy cannot get an infection. It's just the risk may be higher for others. And for germs to make someone sick, there are five things that are needed, or five elements that are needed. They need a reservoir, a pathway, a person to infect, a way around the person's body's defenses, and then they need to survive. So I'm going to go to the next slide, and I'm going to play a video This video is going to show the five elements that I just spoke about. And keep in mind that the spread of germs doesn't mean that an infection is going to happen. It's just a risk. And infection control actions at any point can help the germ from causing an infection. As you watch the video, think about how they relate to your workday and the tasks that you do each day, and where there is a possibility for germs to spread throughout the tasks that you do. And if you would, just jot down a couple thoughts on that, and then we can discuss them after the video.
There are five things that contribute to a germ spreading and making someone sick. Acting on one or more of them can work to stop a germ in its tracks and prevent infections. First, germs need somewhere to grow. We call these places reservoirs, which are simply places where germs live. A habitat, if you will. Our bodies have many reservoirs for germs. Four of the most important for infection control are the skin, the gut, the lungs and airway, and the blood. The environment around us has reservoirs too. Water and wet surfaces, dry surfaces like countertops, dirt and dust, and devices and equipment. Recognizing where germs live is the first step in understanding how to stop their spread. Because when you know where germs might be, you can stop the risk and take action. For example, cleaning and disinfecting high-touch surfaces, which are reservoirs for germs, kills the germs before they can spread. Second, germs need a pathway. They typically can't travel on their own, at least not very far, so they get from place to place when they are breathed in, by touch, or through splashes and sprays. Many of the things we do in healthcare also create new pathways for germs by breaking down or going around the body's normal defenses. Think back to our IV example. Giving a patient an IV breaks their skin and creates a pathway for germs on their skin or in the needle to get into their body. But disinfecting the patient's skin beforehand and using a sterile needle helps ensure germs don't spread to the patient. Third, germs need a person to infect. That person can be a patient, you or one of your colleagues, or anyone that enters a healthcare facility. Infection control actions like telemedicine, screening, and phone triage work because they simply prevent people from being exposed to germs. The fourth factor of infection? When germs get to that person, they need to get around the body's natural defenses. People with healthy immune systems can often fight back. But for someone vulnerable to infection, like our patients who are already sick and struggling to regain their health, germs are an even bigger threat. And finally, the germ has to survive in the environment while it spreads to be able to make someone sick. Note that these five factors don't have to happen in this order for a germ to spread. It's very important to perform infection control actions at any point to help prevent infections.
So to summarize what the video just showed, you need five elements. As I mentioned, you need a reservoir, which can be the body or a device or a piece of like a surface. It needs a pathway. So whether that's touch or inhalation are examples of a pathway. And I'll get more into those in just a second. They need a person or someone to infect. And then they need a way around the body's defenses and then a way to survive. So now that we've talked about how the germs can make people sick, let's talk about what usually happens in healthcare. Where do you see the possibility for germs to spread, or what possibilities do you see during your workday? So if anybody wants to come off mute and just share some examples or put them in the chat so we can have just a quick discussion around some examples throughout your workday.
As I sit here at my desk with my hand on my mouse, I think about all of the organisms and stuff that are like on the mouse and I'm touching it, blah, blah, blah. So although I'm not actually in healthcare, I do see there's lots of opportunities for bugs to live and spread.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it doesn't have to be, obviously in the healthcare setting, germs are like everywhere. So even in my role, as I think about what gets me is every time I don't like to get on the elevator, but when I do, I think about the buttons on the elevator. So I always use my knuckle to touch the buttons. I never use my fingertips to touch the buttons. So does anybody have any examples of ways where germs spread in like your role, or possibilities for germs to spread in your role? You know, we have various backgrounds today on the call.
Hi, my name is Sue Jackson. One of the things that I think about is just the break room, because there's always the person who doesn't clean up after themselves. And so you never really know what's on the counter, or especially the microwaves. And, you know, how long has something been in that microwave growing, whatever it grows, type of thing. So I have a coffee maker in my office, not that that's any better. But, you know, I just worry when you got 50 or 60 people that share that break room, and the refrigerators, the counters, the plasticware, and, you know, if they haven't washed their hands or done their due diligence, you have no idea what you're picking up.
Right. And then you like put your hands on whatever you heated up, and then you proceed to eat it. And there's our pathway. Yeah, no, you're right. And I think we don't think a lot about break rooms. I think we focus on like the nurses' stations and things out in like the patient care areas too. Like, I don't think sometimes we think about some of those other areas.
Yeah.
And our hospital almost went away from microwaves at one point this year because like no one was cleaning them, and we're like, fine, we'll just take them all away. And so then all of a sudden now we have a cleaning schedule for the microwaves.
Yeah.
Barbara put in the chat equipment. Another option was door handles, especially restrooms. Trisha said pens. And Mary Bennett said the ink pen used to sign receipts in the store during flu season.
Yes. Yes. I'm always forever looking for hand sanitizer after I sign something at a store or a doctor's office or whatever. And you know what I thought was great during COVID too? It's probably a little over the top maybe, but when they had two different cups for pens, they had clean and dirty pens, and then someone would wipe them down, and I was like, this is great. I was thinking, she said something about equipment, and it made me think of something. I think, of course, all equipment. I was thinking of cell phones. I think, you know, you guys have probably all heard this, especially given your all's line of work, but, you know, I don't know the percentage or number, but they say our cell phones are like way more dirty than even a toilet seat, because we're just like on it all the time and we don't think about it. And then we're, you know, I'm just as guilty as the next, but we're on our phones and then we're eating and yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would not want to swab my cell phone.
Right.
Oh, and door handles. I wish every place had the bathroom doors, like with the foot thing at the bottom to where you could pull it open. I love those. Or the ones where you can go out without having to touch a handle.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate that. I think you're all exactly on the right track. I think you, and like, again, in our line of work, I think we just do things like way differently than most. And I think you're spot on with all those examples. So I kind of touched on this, but I want to get into it just a little bit more. So we talked about the five elements needed for germs to infect someone, but there are four main pathways that germs use to infect someone. And these are the four main ones, particularly in healthcare, that are used, are pathways that are known to get to someone in healthcare. So the most common one, of course, is through touch. Usually involves the hands, but also happens with, of course, touch of devices and surfaces, et cetera. A second way is when they're breathed in, of course, if someone coughs or sneezes, you know, the droplets go out, and then someone could potentially inhale those, depending how close they are. A third way is through splashes or sprays, whether that's blood or water from a sink. Those are just pathways, for example. And then the last common way for germs to spread in healthcare is through clinical tasks that bypass or break down the body's natural defenses. Like what they showed in the video was like starting an IV. So we've broken the body's skin defense and opened up a pathway for infection there. So those are the four main pathways to think about and how germs are spread through those pathways in healthcare. Infection control actions at any of the key points that we just discussed in the last couple of slides can stop the germs from spreading and causing the infection. So to make decisions about infection control, it's important to think about where the germs are, where they're living, which reservoir or reservoirs you're dealing with, and then how the germs might get somewhere else through that pathway so that you can stop the spread of infection and the spread of germs in that way. Once you know that, then you can recognize the risks for the germs to spread and do something about it. Similar to the scenarios I talked about earlier with like the airplane or the ball pit. So how can an infection occur? So we're going to talk about some scenarios in the next couple of slides. Now that we've talked about how germs spread and cause an infection, let's imagine a few scenarios where it could actually happen. So I'm going to walk you through this first scenario as an example, and then you'll have the opportunity to create your own scenario. I'm going to start with the germ in the initial reservoir, and then I'll walk through some possibilities of how each of the five factors of germ spread could occur. In the end, the patient could be infected with the germ. Of course, there's no guarantee that they're going to become infected, but it is a risk. Remember that it's not really necessary to know everything about the germs in the example activities that we're going to do. The point is just to think through the elements of how germs can be spread. So this first scenario, we start with our germ, which is Streptococcus, there on the left, and then our reservoir to start with is the healthcare worker's hands. So put some examples in the chat, or you can come off mute and speak them out loud, of the pathways that that strep can get from the healthcare worker's hand to the person or the patient. There's multiple ways. Just think about when it gets on their hand, like what are some things that healthcare worker might do with that strep on their hand, and then how the patient could end up getting that germ. Think about those pathways that I just talked about.
So are you thinking, Cassius, are you wanting something like just the touching of maybe one thing and then, you know, not washing their hands and then working with the patient, maybe getting their, looking at their tonsils or something like that?
You're exactly on the right track, Sue. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because the reservoir, and I'll talk about that more in a minute, but the reservoir can actually change to multiple reservoirs as it gets the germ moves from the hand to the bed rail to whatever that might be, the equipment, before it finally gets to the patient.
Right. Okay.
So I'll move to the next slide, and it kind of talks about what might occur in this. So the germ is on the healthcare worker's hands, the skin, so that's our reservoir. And so kind of what Sue was just mentioning, the healthcare worker could touch the patient's bed rail, which then becomes the pathway. And then the patient could touch the bed rail before it's cleaned and disinfected. And then so that's where you have the person and the survival. The patient could then touch their eye, which bypasses the body's defenses, and then deliver the germs into the body. So that's just one example scenario of how that could occur. It could be that, you know, the patient touches the bed rail before it's cleaned, and then they touch their fork and then touch their food and it gets in their mouth. It could get into the body in different ways. So there are certainly many ways that the spread could occur. That's just one example. So now I kind of want you guys to think through this on your own. So there's three scenarios here that you can pick from. So choose one of these scenarios. So the first one is there's E. coli in the patient's gut. So that's your germ and then your reservoir. You have C. diff on a blood pressure cuff, and then you have Pseudomonas in a water faucet. So on a piece of paper, make some notes of possible pathways for the germs to be spread from the reservoir and write down how each of the five elements could contribute to that patient potentially getting an infection from that germ. Think about your work experiences. You could apply that to these scenarios or just make something up too if you want to. As I said before, it's not necessary to really know the characteristics about the germ. Just think about the framework and the elements that I've been discussing in the previous slides. And then just the last thought is, even though there are five elements for how germs can spread, there doesn't necessarily have to be five like steps. A germ can be spread from one reservoir to a person who spreads it into another reservoir, then it's picked up by a patient. So there could be various steps through there. So I'm going to give you guys 3 to 4 minutes. I'm not going to take too long on this, but I would like you to pick one of these scenarios and just think through pathways of how this could get to a patient and infect them. And then I will ask that you guys each, not each of you, but if someone could share one of the scenarios for each of the scenarios and how the pathway they chose could infect someone. So I'm going to move to the next slide, just so these are up on the screen, just to remind you what the five elements of how germs can spread are, so that it'll remind you when you're doing your scenario. So I'm going to stop talking now. If you could just please take just a couple of minutes and think of a scenario, and then I will ask for a couple of people to speak to their scenario, if you don't mind. So, okay. Thank you guys for taking the time to do that. Would anybody be brave enough to unmute and just give us an example of a scenario that you jotted down or thought of in your head on how these germs could spread? We'll go back to our scenarios here.
There has to be somebody out there brave enough to share their example.
This is Mary. I'll go.
Hey, Mary.
Hey. So there's Pseudomonas in the water faucet, and it's in a patient's hospital room. And this is a patient that can get up and walk around. And so they take their toiletries over, and you know, they're going to brush their teeth, comb their hair, and you know, put a little bit of lotion on. So they set everything by the sink. And while they're brushing the teeth, the water's on, and the water is splattering from the sink. And it gets on, the countertop, it gets on their lotion bottle, and whatever they have there. So the patient then picks up their lotion bottle and squeezes some out into their hand and, you know, rubs their hands and maybe puts some on their face, and it gets into their eye. So they wind up with an infection in their eye.
That's not where I thought you were going with it. That's perfect. I was thinking you were going to get on their toothbrush and go down this route, which could have happened too, but
it could do both.
Yeah,
it could do both.
Sinks are my nemesis. In some of our in our ICU setting, particularly at our organization, like the space where the sink and the counter are really small, and they store a ton of stuff on the sink. It's a battle we fight all the time, and it just makes me so nervous. Thank you, Mary. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I think that's a perfect scenario and a very realistic scenario.
That's what you get from an infection preventionist. Why can I say?
Yeah, I know, right? I know. Yeah. I think, I'm telling you, we think about things so differently.
Yes, we do.
How about the C. diff scenario from the blood pressure cuff? I think this is very realistic. I can share the scenario I came up with. So the healthcare worker uses the blood pressure cuff. So that's the reservoir. The germ spreads to the patient or the healthcare worker's hands. And then the healthcare worker doesn't clean their hands after they take the blood pressure, and then they exit the room without doing hand hygiene. Isn't that crazy? And then they go to the next person's room. So that's the person that we could potentially affect in the next room, who's on antibiotics, so the body's defenses are down. The healthcare worker takes the next patient's pulse and then spreads the germ to the patient's skin. So we have now C. diff on this new patient's skin. The patient doesn't clean their hands and eats a snack. So that's the pathway. So then the germ enters their body and infects them. So that's a very realistic way of how C. diff is spread throughout our organization. So just keep these things in mind. I think, to Mary's point, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are thinking, there are so many ways that a germ can be spread from one reservoir to another, and then multiple pathways. So let's bring it all together here at the end. So thinking about your daily work, can you identify any tasks that are related to any of the five elements? If you don't mind putting in the chat, can you just put two actions that you can take to stop the spread of germs to your patients? Or if you don't work with patients, maybe in the work that you do, stopping the spread to a coworker. So just put one or two things in the chat real quick, and Kim can read those to us. And then we'll wrap it up. Yep, hand washing, changing glove, washing your hands, cover coughs and sneezes. Clean up after myself in the break room and wash my hands more often. Yeah, we'll definitely be thinking about break rooms now more after what Sue said. And I agree. I think we should. Thank you guys so much. So real quick, before I get to my last slide, I just want to make sure there's not any questions that I could potentially answer or find the answer for you to. Just take a couple of seconds here. If anybody has anything they want to ask, feel free to put it in the chat. Recently had to process stool specimens for an E. coli outbreak. I wore gloves and washed my hands afterwards, washed hands and did not touch the faucet. Oh gosh, sounds terrible. I hope the outbreak was not at your facility. We're seeing a lot of norovirus, I feel like, right now, and I'm kind of nervous about the outbreak occurring here. All right. If there's no questions, I'll go on to my next slide. Here we go. So I just want to thank you for your time today and sharing some of your thoughts and your knowledge. And I hope that you can take some of the scenarios that we talked about and apply them at your work or even in your home setting. If you don't already do them, I imagine we're all, given our line of work, are pretty good at doing a lot of those infection control activities. So even though we covered quite a bit today, there's still a lot more that you can learn. So if you're interested to continue learning about more of these topics, Project Firstline has a ton of products online that you can go to and get information to share at your organization. And those links are listed on this slide, rather. And these slides will be shared with you at the end of this session, so you'll have access to these. Next time, we'll have one more session in this series. So next time, we're going to cover recognizing risk using reservoirs. So I hope to see you guys all there. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope it was somewhat meaningful to your, applicable to your work and home life. I know it is to mine.